Hi everyone, I'm Lori, and we have some fun topics to discuss today, but joining me first, I would like them to introduce themselves. Go ahead, guys, I don't want us, like, you guys go ahead.
Cara.
Hi, I'm Cara.
Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Hi, I'm Liz. I'm back with Lori.
Yes, thank you. For those of you who were here with us last time, Liz and I spoke about feminism, and you guys contributed, and it was really, really fun. And today we have Cara joining us.
Hello.
And we have a couple different topics that we're going to be talking about, so we're very excited. So starting off, we're going to be talking about purge watching. Now, this is a pretty new concept. I think everyone's familiar with binge watching, but purge watching, it's the concept of when watching a show is like a chore, like an obligation, like you just want to purge and get it out of your system. And we're just gonna kind of be going into that a little bit. So some examples for some TV shows of that are like Broadchurch or House of Cards or Friday Night Lights or Game of Thrones, even though I don't think so, but a lot of people have given that up. So kind of another term I like to use is plot committed, because it kind of relates back to this poker term where you're committed to a pot. So it's where you've reached a point where you've bet so much money that you just feel like you have to stay in the hand, like you're committed to it. And even though, you know, it doesn't better your chances. So let's say you've already bet $100 and then someone raises $10 and you're like, well, I'm already $100 in, might as well bet $10. It doesn't make your chances better, but you still do it. So this is kind of the same concept of watching these shows. Well, I'm already 8 hours in, there's 5 more episodes. Like, what's another 5 hours of my time? I want to see this through to the end, right?
Yes.
Yes, and in case anyone wants to chat or chime in, you can go to the live stream link, which is www.kchungradio.org/stream-html, and we could talk. For example, one of our friends just says, I purge watch porn. Does that count?
No.
All right, Liz called the shot on that one. It doesn't, but you know, keep on doing what makes you happy. So why is purge watching so big right now?
My turn?
Yeah, you could.
Oh,
you could chime in. It doesn't have to just be me.
Okay, sure. Well, I mean, as we kind of stole this idea from a Vulture article, as they so wisely wrote this up, but as they brought up, this is kind of bigger than ever because of Netflix's release model of giving you like every episode of a season at once. So you're not like waiting like, oh, week to week, like every Sunday I tune into this show. You're just like, boom, like 14 episodes, here you go. Like watch them as fast as you can or as slow as you want. But it's kind of like even if you're addicted, maybe you're addicted for like 4 episodes, but then you're like, I don't know. And you're like, well, I only have 10 more. And like, you know, everyone's gonna be talking about it. And you're like, I'm just gonna do it. Like, I'm gonna power through and I'm gonna just spend the next like 2 days watching everything. And then I'm done. And then I can be like, yeah, I watched that. I watched the whole season. I'm done. I killed it. So I think it's just kind of like, it's a much different like commitment sensation. Like, for me, it's kind of just like, how fast can I watch this show? Like, I remember in college, like, I downloaded a bunch of Lost, and then me and my friend Jasmine were competing every single day to see who could get further in Lost, and like, she would get up early and watch it, and I would stay up late and watch it. So every day we'd like meet in the dining commons for lunch and be like, what episode are you on? So it was kind of like, no, I can beat you. Like, I can watch this show faster than you can. Like, you say you watched 5 episodes, I watched 7. So I think that's another thing that, like, kind of comes into play.
That's definitely. And Kara, earlier you were talking about the whole feeling left out if you don't watch something.
Oh yeah, definitely. I feel like these days people are always talking about, you know, you have to watch Breaking Bad, you have to watch this, like this is the greatest show ever. And so for me, I feel like this pressure of, oh gosh, I need to keep up with all the trends, I need to keep up with all the shows because this is what people talk about in the workplace or like just when you're socializing with people. And so for me, it's like a chore because I feel pressure to know what's going on. But then also it's a chore, since it is a chore for me, I feel like I need to get it done quickly and then check it off my to-do list.
Totally.
So like it's like, okay, I've like completed this, I feel good. Even though like I could possibly not even remember what happened.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The entire series.
Yeah.
But like it's like, okay, did it.
That's checked done.
Off. Yeah, like moving
that's
on.
Done. Yeah. Well, glad I got that out of the way. So now I can go do something I actually like enjoy doing.
Yeah. So it's weird.
So not only is this a con to the binge watching model and releasing series an entire season at a time, but there's also the fact that these shows don't have the chance to course correct themselves, which is pretty much, you know, tuning, kind of becoming in tune with what the audience wants. Mm-hmm. For example, on Breaking Bad, Vince Gilligan, the creator of the show, recognized that there was great chemistry between Walter White and Jesse Pinkman, and they decided to keep Aaron Paul as a series regular instead of killing him off at the end of the season, which is what they were planning on doing. So when you release something whole, you don't have the chance to do that. And it's like, how different would Breaking Bad have been? It would not have been the amazing show it was if that had happened. So there's that.
Yeah, and I think course correcting is interesting too, because it's not necessarily just responding to like what the audience wants. It's just like responding to things that they notice like aren't working. Because like if you have to do something all at once, you've got to just like commit to one model and you're like, this is how I'm going to do it. Like, this is the way. But like if you're doing something like week by week, you can like reflect back every week and be like, you know what, like that didn't work. Let's fix it in these like upcoming episodes.
So they're committing much in the way that their audience is committing.
Exactly.
Whoa. Look at that.
Crazy.
So we thought this concept was really interesting because it's not something that is just for TV shows. It's not, I mean, it's relevant now more than ever because of the Netflix model. Like, you know, there's Amazon and Hulu, or I don't know if Hulu has any original stuff.
Hulu has a lot of original series, okay. Yeah.
I don't really watch anything on Hulu, so. But, you know, they're starting to follow this, like, release an entire series at a time and an entire season of a series at a time and, you know, binge watch and it's a race and everyone's going to be talking about it. Like, Orange is the New Black. They release it on a weekend and then you just feel obligated to watch it all weekend because everyone's going to be talking about it. No, I don't want to hear spoilers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just very, that's why I think it's, this concept is in, people are writing about it now. But it's something that you can experience with books or video games or comic books or any other kind of medium. So as a point of discussion, we just wanted to talk about any other shows or medium that you guys can relate to. Like, for example, me, Broadchurch, which that is an English show, but they made an American version of it, which so unnecessary because it was with a lot of the same cast and the same showrunner, and it was the same story, pretty much, except set in America. And I watched that and I stuck with it, and then when it ended, I just was so grossed out with all of the time I had invested in it because I just wanted to see it through the end, but I didn't really care about it. I wish I could have gotten that time back and done something actually productive. But that's definitely a big one for me. And I think House of Cards as well.
Oh, House of Cards.
Which I'm stuck somewhere in season two, but
yeah,
I'm determined.
I'm also stuck in season two.
I'm determined. Oh, wait, actually, you know what? I think I'm on season three. I think I made it through season two.
Good for you.
And then I'm on season three and I'm stuck there. So, because yes, he's already president.
Spoiler alert.
Which I already know now. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
No, I already know.
Well, I think that's another interesting thing is like, when does something count as a spoiler? When everything's released at once. It's like, are you just expected to watch everything? So, like, nothing can be spoiled for you? Or are people, like, supposed to, like, tiptoe around it for, like, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Like, how long does it take before you're...
the correct TV etiquette now?
Spoiling something.
This concept is bizarre. Well, but it's something... But like I said, it's something that has been around forever. I know I've read books that I didn't really want to continue reading, but I was already, I don't know, like 400 pages in or something, and I was like, I'm already this far.
Yeah,
I might as well
finish it. Kind of like you get halfway, you're like, I'm gonna keep going.
No, I'm not saying that some people watch TV all the way through to feel relevant in common conversations. I think that is a part of it, but I don't think that's the...
I mean, that's something I experience. Like, I...
That was a point that Kara brought up.
Yeah, that is why sometimes I watch TV shows, because I feel like, oh, I need to know what's going on. I want to stay relevant in this conversation with people. And so that's one thing that I struggle with, which, I mean...
And that might be hard for us because we all work in, like, entertainment industry jobs. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, the people we're surrounded by are watching, like, more shows than probably the average person.
They consume a lot more medium than the average person. But that was kind of just a part of this.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting psychological thing that people do, that they just, they're not even that into it. They're already in enough where they know what to expect for the rest of the show. They know it's not going to pick up anymore, but they stay invested. They stick with it and they watch it all the way through the end. And that's why the concept of purge watching.
Yeah,
is,
gotta purge it out. Yes. Just like get it, just be done.
Just
like
swap it out.
Because I know, like, even like if my Hulu queue gets too many shows in it, it's like it gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
Like I have constant anxiety about it.
Yeah.
And it's like I'll just commit like a Sunday night and just watch like 10 shows, and I'm like, oh yes, like it's under 70. Like I feel so much better now.
Because it's like checking off things on a
to-do
list.
Yeah, it's literally like I'm checking them off on a to-do list. Like my Hulu queue is like its own to-do list.
Yeah, it's like that satisfying feeling of like actually checking something off a to-do list. Like I accomplished something, even if it was like watching TV for 8 hours straight, you know? It's like that weird feeling.
It's like a false sense of productivity that I give.
Yeah.
You. That's so interesting. That's true. I think maybe a lot of it is tied into that. Any shows that you guys watch? I mean, I shared House of Cards and Broadchurch. That was one for me.
I think I'm done on House of Cards. I think I actually just cut the cord. I think it's harder for me if I've watched, like, several seasons of something to give up. Like, I only watched one season of House of Cards. Like, that wasn't hard to be, like, later. But I don't even know, like... Pretty Little Liars, I think, is on, like, season 6, and it's just not good. But I'm still there every Sunday, like, or Tuesday, or whatever day it's on, and I'm still watching. And it's not, like, I know it's not going to get any better. Like, if I see it through to the end, I'm not going to feel this, like, enormous sense of completion, and I'm not going to get this, like, powerful ending that made it all worth it. But I'm still watching. And, like, it's, I don't know, it's hard for me to stop watching because it kind of feels like I've given up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a failure for me that I didn't keep watching this show. It's like I failed at something, even though it's the show that's failing me.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's me.
Kara?
I guess my show is Game of Thrones, just because I watched the first season probably maybe, like, a couple years ago. And then I just kind of picked it up again recently. And I still, like, I just thought maybe, oh, now, like, give me more time to... Or I thought maybe that, like, I would have a better, like... I don't know. I just thought that maybe I would try it again and I would like it again or something. Or I would like it this time around. But, nope. Still the same thing. It's really hard for me to follow up with. I know, like, the whole character thing and, like, the plots are kind of... crazy, but
I think you need to.
Yeah. In the mic, Kara.
Hi. Hi there. I just keep trying to, like, follow through with it, but I just don't think it's hooked me. It hasn't really gotten to me.
So someone in the chat just said, if I don't want to watch something, I don't, regardless of social pressure to feel relevant. Why would I want to waste time to contribute to a conversation that I don't care about all, at all in order to stay in some sort of conversation?
Well, it's kind of like that thing of FOMO, like fear of missing out. So, I mean, I experienced that, and, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I think a lot of people experience that. A lot of people that I know experience it, and definitely I know it's, like, I know in my head it's ridiculous to watch something that I'm not interested in, but it's just that, like, that anxiety where I'm like, okay, people are going to be talking about this at work. Like, okay, I'm just going to sit there and listen and not, like, say anything, and I want to contribute, but I can't contribute, so... It's more of like, I want to be a part of that conversation later on. So I'm going to try to like watch this thing that I don't really care about, even though it sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah, and especially like if it's like your coworkers or something that are watching, yeah, and then like they're leaving you out and it's like a social bonding time.
Yeah.
Like it reminds me of the Friends episode where Rachel like started smoking just so she could like go hang out with her boss.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to miss out on something. Like an actual like career advancement just because I like don't watch a TV show. Mm-hmm. Like I think there are all kinds of reasons behind.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, yeah, that's just one small reason that came up when we were discussing this before the show, so we decided, you know, to mention it, but it's not all about, you know, missing out on things or,
oh yeah,
you know, it's just, that's just a small part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then someone brought up, people are legitimately mad at Shonda for killing off Derek. The emotions are real. Grey's Anatomy, which is a show that I just could not bring myself to continue watching after they killed off Danny Duquette because it was just so bad.
It was so bad.
I couldn't even purge watch that.
No. Nope.
It was so bad. I left that. I guess it's just not my thing personally. I understand you may feel like you're missing out career advancement wise, then that's just being a good self-promoter. Good for them then. Deny.
Denny.
Oh, Denny.
I agree with you about Denny.
Whoa. Denny. Deny. Deny. Okay.
That's fine. Everyone has their own opinions about watching shows. So.
Oh, totally.
As I said, that's just a component of it.
Yeah,
I don't want to get like too caught up on that aspect of, oh, you know, it's just because I'm going to feel left out. Because that's not even
that
what this was about.
Just,
that
was just something that
one point of view.
Yeah, yeah, no, not at all. And I feel like that's getting lost in translation. but yes, that it's just sometimes it's because you just feel obligated, like you bonded with these characters, and even though they are letting you down, you want to stick it out with them. Kind of like Friday Night Lights, which I haven't seen, but that's kind of what you guys were saying about it, that you liked the characters, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Friday Night Lights, it suffered severely from the writer's strike, and that was like their season two. So season two was so bad, and like, I don't know about you, Cara, but season two is where I stopped watching.
I stopped maybe after season three or four, but...
Oh, you got far.
It just, yeah, it was too much.
That reminds me, Heroes. I was really into Heroes, and I really liked the first season, but then their second season suffered because of the writer's strike as well. A lot of shows, I think, suffered.
Oh, yeah,
on
definitely.
A huge writer's strike. Yeah, that was bad. So, we have some riveting discussions going on in the chat, but not enough. So maybe we might have to move on from this subject. I hope we came across as clear in how we were trying to discuss it. But it was just an interesting concept, and it was relevant because of the Netflix model, which is catching on now. Like, you don't see the weekly shows, you know, happening as much. Things are... Or episodes get leaked, and then people watch all
true.
Of those. And then someone said, we all get investigated in characters we like or want to be more like. Or, like, people we would want to have in our lives, like friends. Like, I know that I super got invested in friends sometime in college because I wanted a group of friends like that. And all of my friends had gone off to different colleges, so I didn't really have that. So, oh god, that makes me sound so sad. But yeah, no, it's true. We definitely do get invested in characters like that. And then it makes you want to binge watch even more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I have to get my fix.
Yeah, you get so attached. Like, mm-hmm. It's like you know these people.
Yeah, they're your friends, family.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah.
Friends are friends.
Alrighty, I mean, well, how do you ladies feel? Shall we move on, or do you guys want to continue discussing this?
Let's move on.
We can move on.
We can move
We're
on.
We're already at 5:30.
Alright, that was good. That was fun. So this one is something that I really like. It's a little, a little specific in interests, but I hope that you will stay with me and find it interesting, but it's about superheroes, and I love superheroes. I'm not an expert on superheroes, but I do very much enjoy them, and Spider-Man is my favorite. And this is kind of going off of Avengers Age of Ultron being released this weekend. They made $187 million. That's an estimate off of today, but you know, it's not concrete numbers. But it still falls very short of what the Avengers, its predecessor, made its opening weekend, which was $207 million. So the amount of teen superhero movies that are coming out are, what are people saying in the chat? I see
you. You can ignore them.
Okay. The amount of superhero movies that are coming out now, both group and just, you know, origin story movies, is a lot. There are a lot. And I just wanted to take a look at some of the groups that kind of paved the way for Avengers. Whether you guys like it or not, there's going to be a lot more superhero movies. So, and that one, I kind of wanted that to be a point of discussion as well. So just like three groups that really, really paved the way for what we're experiencing now in our movie world, superhero-wise, superhero edition. So, starting off with 1960, the Justice League of America. So that's when it started, and it's the longest running group superhero team. And their original lineup is the historical one, which is Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, Martian Manhunter. Yes, Martian Manhunter. Who is that? Aquaman. So these characters, pretty much a lot of people, there were adaptations of them, there's parodies, knockoffs, all of this stuff. And Grant Morrison, who is a famous comic book writer, he wrote for them in the 90s, and he compared them a lot to gods. And he even went as far as to like assign them specific Greek gods. Superman, like he said, was Zeus, Batman was Hades, Wonder Woman Athena, Flash was Hermes, and you know, etc. So this is like the very first foundation to these superhero groups. And then after that, to counter that, Marvel, believe it or not, Marvel's counter to the Justice League was the Fantastic Four. And supposedly, the story behind the Fantastic Four is that a DC executive and a Marvel executive were golfing, and the DC executive was bragging about how well Justice League was doing. And so the Marvel exec went to Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and said, "All right, guys, we need to do something to kind of, we need Marvel's version of Justice League." And they created Fantastic Four. And the reason that this origin story kind of sounds very made up is because Fantastic Four are nothing like Justice League. They're not regarded as, you know, gods. Like, they're not, don't have like this mythical, like they're not superhuman. They're actually very humanized. And they were a group of scientists who got into this scientific accident. They kind of see their powers as a curse, and they're all just very flawed, and their family, or they're connected by romance somehow. And this, I mean, I think you guys can already hear that these themes are very common in superhero movies. What do we like most about our superheroes is that they're humanized, you know, so we could relate to them. So that was like a huge, huge theme that you can see in the movies today. Their success kicked off, you know, the Marvel age. That is what we're still seeing today. So that's the second one. And I'm just gonna take a peek at what's going on in the chat because I'm seeing I'm seeing Liz's smirks. What did you think of the movie version of Flash with Ryan Reynolds? I didn't see that because I don't think that exists. I think
you mean Green Lantern.
Yes, okay, Jeff, I do think there are way too many superhero movies nowadays, but I was gonna get to that.
I had a little outline. Lori has a whole outline.
Yeah, this is something I really enjoy talking about. Yes, and they're all following this realistic trend too. Yes, they really are. I mean, the Dark Knight series, gritty, realistic, they love that. And I think all of the other superhero movies definitely try to follow suit. But I was just trying to focus specifically on the group ones because of the Avengers Age of Ultron. So, I mean, we could talk about that too. Let's talk about Wonder Woman's new costume. Blech. Let's talk about it. Okay, I don't know what. I'm just gonna finish up my little thing, guys. And then we'll go into it. I'm really excited to talk about it. So I just have two more. 1992 X-Men and the X-Men cartoon. I don't know about you guys, but I totally woke up early on Saturday mornings and watched that because it was the coolest thing ever, and I could still sing the theme song, but I won't.
You should do it.
No, because it doesn't even have words. It's just like a tune. That's even worse.
Better.
Anyway, so it was a pretty successful show. And if you close your eyes and you think about the X-Men lineup, I guarantee you, you will think about this X-Men lineup. It's, you know, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Wolverine, Beast, Gambit. Who had a crush on Gambit? I had a crush on Gambit because he was the coolest person ever. Rogue, Professor X. And of course, Jubilee, who she's actually going to come out in the new movie, which is exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah, so it was really great because it was diverse, and this is the first kind of group of superheroes that was diverse. So that was very well done on their part, and they had like these really cool epic storylines, and it was very well balanced because even though it was a kids' show, someone who was older could tune in and not be put off by how gritty. It wasn't overly gritty like Batman, the animated series, but it wasn't like super campy like the Superman series. It was this really good balance and epic storylines and cool characters. It was very well done Saturday morning comic book cartoon. And then my last one, we were talking about the Avengers. So of course, I had to bring up the first Avengers, which this is an interesting movie because it was a gamble. It wasn't just... they had other superhero group movies, but in those movies, they were already introduced as a group. Like, they didn't have to go into how they became... It wasn't an origin story, kind of like the Avengers was. They had... In the Avengers, they had all these characters that had their own movies, so they kind of expect the audience to have seen these movies over the 4 or 5 years leading up to the Avengers, and to actually care about these characters, which, I mean, why would anyone care about Thor? He wasn't like a big character. I feel like I'm saying character a lot.
It's okay.
So they were expected to remember and care. Like, Marvel created this whole universe that we're supposed to remember everything.
It gets very detailed. Rather confusing.
Very much so. And, you know, it worked, though. The box office numbers speak for themselves. But then, I won't go into it too much, but Age of Ultron... I mean, after Guardians of the Galaxy, it's kind of hard, I think, but to follow that up, but that'll be my review of Age of Ultron, just my sigh.
Okay.
But, you know, it worked. Like, Marvel did a really good job marketing it, and it just laid down the foundation for all, like, now DC has this entire lineup of both.
Yeah,
single,
like the next like 10 years or something.
Yeah, in the next 10. I mean, Marvel has one too,
but
I think DC felt pressure to we're releasing all of these movies like Suicide Squad and like the Batman versus Superman and all of those, they felt pressured because of Avengers. Avengers, like, whether, like, it changed how comic book superhero movies were made and marketed and put together and all of that stuff. So it's just interesting because this dates back all the way, you can say, to the 1940s, and it's still, you know, it works today. So it's just interesting. So my discussion point now is whether there's just, as I said, there's the 10 years the DC Comics released their lineup. Marvel has theirs for the next 10 years. There's TV shows. They still have comic books, which, P.S., Marvel is actually ending the universe they set up from the 1960s in the Secret Wars issues this summer. So all of that universe that we know, all the comic book superheroes that we know, it's all supposedly ending this summer, which is
exhausting. It's like I can barely keep up with it now.
So
let's start all over.
So with all that being said, I wanted to know if you guys have superhero fatigue, if you're over it, or if you're like, no, give me more. What do you guys think?
I think I have superhero fatigue. I didn't think that I did. I was like amped on Agent Carter, and I watched all of Daredevil in like 3 days. But I don't know. I mean, I saw Avengers with Lori last night, and it was just like every trailer was just another superhero movie, and it was like, ugh, like, is this all we're getting? I'm ready. I'm like ready for a new thing to blow up and like get a bunch of blockbusters off of something else. It's like the next 10 years, I'm gonna be almost 40. Like, I'm
oh my gosh.
I'm not still, I don't think I'm gonna be committing to these movies in the same way I am now.
Someone said I got superhero fatigue from Tobey Maguire. That was like not even the beginning of it. That's okay. So you're not a superhero fan, Goldie. Okay. I mean, I think you're the minority there, though. Because, look, I mean, if they're making them, that means there's a demand for them. But I agree that there's way too many. We're just saturated. It's like everywhere we turn.
Yeah, they're ubiquitous. We can't escape.
I think they're overcompensating too. I mean, 10 years? Ugh.
Yeah, like give something else a chance. Give us some original ideas.
Definitely. There's only room for Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man. No one cares about the other superheroes. Tobey Maguire is just the worst.
I think Spider-Man 3 ruined things for a lot
of
us.
What about Groot?
Yes. What about Groot? And maybe Iron Man. I liked Guardians of the Galaxy. I think I had much higher of a tolerance than most people when it came to superhero stuff. I mean, I even I love Spider-Man, and I even gave the Amazing Spider-Man series a chance. I also love Andrew Garfield, but that was painful also. That was bad.
Oh, really mad.
That was really bad. What did I think of Kick-Ass? I thought it was okay. I didn't read the comic books, but I wasn't really that much of a fan, to be honest.
I thought it was interesting, but yeah, I didn't.
It's the, you know, interesting concept, but I don't know if the best execution.
Yeah,
that's what I'll say.
It's a little off-putting.
Kick-Ass. Yeah, it's just kind of like I didn't care enough about the characters. Maybe that's why. I am a big Guardians of the Galaxy fan. I'll still probably go see Ant-Man, even though I don't really care about Ant-Man.
I don't think I'll see it.
I
hate ants, first of all.
And he like command, like he they listen to him.
I could barely watch the trailer because it had so many ants in it. It was really gross. I just don't. Ugh, gross. And, ugh.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I have superhero fatigue, but I'm plot committed, I think, and I'll still go watch them because I am interested in how they're going to do, you know, the Infinity War, Civil War.
Civil War.
But I think the next Avengers is called Infinity War.
I think so. It's Captain America Civil War. That's the next Captain America.
That's when Tony Stark and Captain America have their falling out.
Mm-hmm. That's a good meme.
Which I guess is already kind of started in
Yeah, they
Ultron.
Put that into play.
Sorta. Do you hate... I think it'd be nice to make it a little more comic booky again. The real life trend is played out. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that. The real life trend. Like, the Nolan Batmans, to me, don't compare to the Tim Burton Batmans. Like, I'd rather have a comic book that feels like a comic book. That feels like a fun adventure fantasy land. Like, I don't need my gritty, dark Batman.
Oh, I love it.
I was like, ugh. I mean, it's like, I feel like it's taking itself too seriously.
Can we live in a world where we have both?
I enjoy both.
Bane was way too small. I mean, I like both of them, though. I liked having, you know, the grittiness, but then I also liked having the comic bookiness. But, you know, I find this interesting because didn't you work on
Batman? I only do it for a whole 2 days. I did work on Batman.
The Dark Knight, right?
The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know much about that. I'm just curious.
About me working on it?
Yeah, what did you do?
I was just like a set PA. I just like, it was like if paparazzi came around, you like shooed them away and like we helped direct traffic and stuff like that. It was easy.
Did you see, so what were they shooting when you...
What scenes did they do?
Yeah.
The first day I did it, it was like that scene where it's like Morgan Freeman's down in their little like bat lab thing and they flood everything.
He
has that huge machine and it floods. Mm-hmm. So we did that scene. I mean, that day I was literally just in a dark tunnel the entire day with a flashlight. And they didn't even have enough flashlights for everybody.
Aww.
It was really dark down there too. Like, you couldn't see anything. Like, if there was somebody 10 feet away, you could not see them. And then the next day, we did a scene where it was like, where Anne Hathaway's on the like motorcycle and then there's like that tunnel full of cars that mm-hmm. explodes.
Oh yeah.
We did that, and then we did the scene that has like the little boy and like the bird or something. I forget. And it's Catwoman again and she like saves that little kid.
I can't remember that.
Yeah, it's such a long movie.
It was very long. It was a quick scene.
But they spent an entire day shooting.
They spent half a day on it.
Movies. All right. Well, thanks for humoring me, guys. I love comic book stuff, so it was really fun to talk about it, even though I felt like I was really tongue-tied. Let's move on to our next discussion, which I think will be more popular than the
last. This is popular. Yeah. A lot of people are
weighing in,
contributing.
I just want to point out Jeff's comment. At some point, they will run out of worthy superheroes to make movies of, unless a better director comes out and revamps an entire series. Cough, Christopher Nolan. But, you know, some would argue that they're already running out of worthy superheroes. Because, yeah. I mean, who really cares about Ant-Man?
Yeah, oh, I know.
But, that's just me. But, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Anyways, let's move on to another fun subject. You guys ready?
Totally.
I'm pumped.
90s nostalgia.
Ooh.
It's coming back, guys. How many reboots do we have? We got Full House. X-Files, Girl Meets World, well, Boy Meets World revamped to Girl Meets World. They have the Mulan live action movie, which I'm very excited about.
I know you're really excited. They better cast an Asian.
That would be very ridiculous if they didn't. I want to see reboots of movies centering around supervillains.
Well, we're getting that, right?
Yeah, we're getting that on with Suicide Squad. That's what Suicide Squad is. So, there you go.
Yeah, Suicide Squad.
There you go.
And that's kind of what they did with, like, Maleficent in a totally different take.
Yeah.
Like, they took a villain and tried to make her...
Well, and they did.
Yeah,
I mean,
sympathetic.
I felt for her.
Yeah.
It was sad. She had a sad story.
It was sad.
Seen it.
Yeah. Okay, so you mean, like, specifically about a character, Joker or Deathstroke, as you said. Screw the Fool from 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I thought his picture looked kind of cool and scary.
That looks ridiculous.
What is,
really?
Who is he playing?
Yeah, I thought it looked really stupid.
Oh.
Who is he playing?
Jared Leto is playing the Joker in Suicide Squad.
Oh.
You didn't see his... They actually just released the cast photo today. I was excited to see Harley Quinn, but she seemed whatever.
Go on to the 90s thing.
Go okay. on. Get along now. All right. Moving along to the 90s thing. So we just wanted to... We thought it would be a fun discussion to talk about the shows that they are rebooting and what shows you guys would want to see rebooted. Like, I would totally want to see Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah.
I
think,
but then again, do I? I don't.
Yeah, like, are they just going to take something you love and ruin it?
Yeah. That's the thing. Because a part of me wants to say, yeah, well, heck yeah, I want to see, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But then, like, after what happened with Arrested Development, and I know that's not 90s.
That's a similar concept.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. So, that's mine. How about you guys? And also in the chat. Who would you want to play the role of Will Smith to play if you had to choose? So, who would I want to be Will Smith in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot?
Oh, man.
Well, can he still be Will? Like, does it have to be a complete reboot? Or can he be in it and then can we be, like, following...
Oh, him
son
in adult
his
life
daughter.
Or something? Like they did on Girl Meets World.
Yeah, or can it be like a Girl Meets World concept? I don't know. He could be the uncle. I like that. He could be the uncle,
that's
and then
cute.
It could be like Carlton's kid or something. Ooh, I just came up with a premise, guys. Okay, it could be Will is the uncle, and Carlton's Beverly Hills kid can go to West Philly.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay.
And then Will's still that like crazy uncle, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Shows mm-hmm. him around.
Getting
yeah.
into trouble.
Yeah.
Up to no good.
I mean, would you guys watch that? That sounds interesting, no?
Maybe.
Girl Meets World has same heart Boy Meets World did.
That was a nice part of Boy Meets World, was like, I feel like it didn't like hit you over the head with a like nice message, kind of like Full House does. But, like, you still were like, aww.
Yeah.
You know?
Mr. Feeny?
Mr. Feeny? Like, where was my Mr. Feeny?
Yeah. Everyone needs a Mr. Feeny in their life.
Totally.
I haven't seen Girl Meets World, though.
I've seen a couple episodes.
I haven't seen it either.
It's cute.
Do they, like, refer back a lot to Boy Meets World?
I mean, Nin would know. She watches it regularly.
All right. So, what else would you guys...
I would go... Saved by the Bell.
Ooh, yeah. That'd be a good one.
Saved by the Bell was like everything.
Didn't they have like a mini
summer.
Reunion on
yes,
the
and
Bell?
It was amazing. It was on Jimmy
recently.
Fallon,
oh, yeah,
right?
It was on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, it was so good. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Everyone still looked the same.
No one invited
like
Lisa Turtle.
Or anything.
Well, you know.
No one invited Lisa Turtle.
She might have been invited. We don't know.
She's crazy.
She's had a rough go of it.
Oh,
the
so
Fresh Princess. Willow Smith can be the Fresh Princess.
Oh my god, Willow Smith. She's amazing.
Whipping her hair back.
I guess they could do that. I don't know how I would feel about that, though. I don't know if that would instantly make me not want to watch it. It's just me, though. If, like, I saw Willow or Jaden in it, I'd be like, So apparently Corey is the new Feeny in Girl Meets World.
Not quite the same. Well,
he tries.
Can anybody be...
He tries.
Can anybody be Feeny?
Like
probably
Feeny
not.
Mr. Feeny was so wise, and Corey was just kind of like...
Corey's such a goop, you know? He tries, but, like, he was just stumbling around, goobing it up.
Goobing it up. Okay, how about you, Kara?
Man. I don't know. I'm kind of interested in this whole Fuller House thing. I wonder
how that's going to go.
Yeah. Is everyone coming back or no?
No.
Not Olsen twins certainly aren't. They're like, nope.
They're busy. They're busy like dating 80-year-olds. Oh. So gross. No, it's DJ and Kimmy.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then isn't Uncle Jesse coming back?
Yeah. It's like the opposite. They like flipped it. It's because, you know, the premise of Full House was that
it was the guys
that becomes a widow, or yeah, and then mm-hmm. they come and help raise the mm-hmm. daughters, but then she becomes a widow DJ.
And then
they come mm-hmm. the ladies come and help her raise three boys. That's the from what I've read. I don't know. I mean, I liked Full House growing up, but
I loved it.
It's like a very, do you touch things like that, I guess? Classics like that?
It was a classic.
Have any of these, okay, other than Girl Meets World, have any of these other reboots actually, we can't watch them, right? They're still in production.
Yeah, they haven't started.
Like, how good will X-Files be?
Oh, I'm so scared. I'm so scared. X-Files was another show where it was like, once I hit a certain number of seasons, I just kept going. Till Mulder left, because then it was like, it's not the X-Files, Mulder's not even there.
Well, no. The Olsons didn't even know. Sorry, I'm going back to that from that comment. Yeah, apparently John Stamos saw an article that said that he claimed that they didn't even know, and he was like, I'm calling bull. Bleep.
Go Uncle Jesse.
Bleep yourself.
Uncle Jesse calling him out.
Calling him out.
I don't know what other reboot I would want to see.
I know. I mean, I remember, like, for me, TGIF was always, like, Family Matters, which, I wouldn't, like, be, like, pumped if that came back. And then Step by Step.
Step by Step.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. If they made another Sabrina, I might be, like, kind of excited.
Family Matters versus Home Improvement. Home Improvement.
I did watch a lot of Home Improvement.
Me too. That was a fun
show. Tim, Little Man Taylor.
Sister, Sister. You know what? Interesting that you say Sister, Sister, because I heard that that is actually coming back. I think Tia Mowry was like, yeah, you can, after, it's like on the coattails of Full House being announced, Tia Mowry was like, yeah, you can expect to see Sister, Sister in the future. Someone is agreeing with you. Sabrina the Teenage
Witch. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Oh my gosh. Yes. That'd be amazing. I would love that.
I didn't have cable when I was a kid, so I never
It was on network TV. No, it was on Nick.
SNICK.
Trust me, I know what shows were on cable and what shows weren't in my childhood.
The sisters did have a reality show.
Yep, they did. But I don't know what... I mean, was it like on the Lane Network, like Oxygen or something?
Yeah.
Ugh, that was bad. She has a cooking show. Which one? Tia or Tamara? Yeah, so... I mean... Oh, I know what I thought of. I had a moment.
I saw that.
She's All That. They're redoing She's All That, which I recently rewatched.
Oh, I thought
rewatched.
That wasn't, like, confirmed.
No, they're gonna do it with a more diverse cast, is what they said.
You mean the movie She's All That?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It would be great if we could get, like, a 90s teen movie reboot. Like, just in general. Like, what happened to the teen movie? That really just disappeared.
Yeah, that genre really did disappear.
Poor teens. Now they have nothing.
I mean, we had great things like She's All That and
we had things
Clueless.
About you.
So many
about
teen
you.
Movies. We got Not Another Teen Movie.
So good.
It was so good.
I love 10 Things
American
I Hate About
Pie.
You. Have you? Okay, I recently rewatched She's All That, and it's so good. But
it stands the test of time.
Wasn't Usher like the DJ?
Usher the DJ.
Usher Raymond was the DJ.
He taught them how to, like, do a routine, and then at the prom, he's like, all right, guys, do the routine I taught you, and then they all, like, dance in formation.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Every movie, they just
ridiculous. They were always doing a dance.
So good. And then, Paul Walker was in it, and he's kind of the bad guy.
Yeah, he was, but it's okay.
It's okay.
He's so pretty.
He got the rape porn, and then he's, like, deaf at the end.
That's right.
Yeah. You guys go back and rewatch it. It's on Netflix and it's amazing. And it made me really sad because of Paul Walker. But then, and I remember after that, my sister was just in love with him for years and years. And like he did Varsity Blues after that. And,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. was great. Oh, and then 10 Things I Hate About You, someone else is bringing it up. Yes, and then Heath Ledger's in that too.
So sad. Oh, that was
Save
so
the
good.
Last Dance.
Oh my god, Save the Last Dance. It's
Ron and Julia Stiles.
Whatever happened to her? Yeah, she was like in everything.
She was on Dexter for season.
And she was in Silver Linings as the sister. I didn't like that.
She was?
Silver Linings Playbook.
I don't remember her in that at all.
Not the sister. She was like his friend's wife.
Oh.
Who was the sister of.
She's on some show. Isn't she on a show right now? I think she's on a show.
I have no idea.
I think it's like a FBI type show or something.
We miss you, Julia Stiles, is what we're trying to say.
Come back.
Come back.
90s nostalgia.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I think you're right, Liz. I think we should bring back the teen movie genre, and I would still probably go watch it.
Because we used to have, like, teen magazines. Like, teen things
still
blew up
still
when we were teens.
Yeah.
Not really.
I just, maybe we don't notice them.
No, they're gone.
Really?
Yeah, like, we don't have those anymore.
Like, 17 is a teen.
17 movie. We still have. But remember we had all those, like, what were the ridiculous ones?
J-pop.
Yeah, J-pop and all those other
like
ones.
That.
And like,
Tiger Beat?
Yes, oh, Tiger Beat.
Those are like pre-teen almost. So.
I know,
J-14.
But like, we don't have. J-14. I mean, those are all gone now.
I don't know if they are, though.
They are gone.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That's too bad.
Teen Beat. It's the perfect time to remake. Yes, it is.
Super teen. And I think we're... Okay, well, it's been fun, guys. We're wrapping it up. But thanks for all of your input in the discussions.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You really help our conversation along.
As we just sat here, you're like, please chat.
Respond, please.
I had them all.
Yeah, and it did. That's how I know what they were called.
Awesome. Well, cool. Thank you guys for joining us. Hopefully we'll
be back
at some point and you will know about it and you will participate in the chat. Have a good weekend. Or have a good week.
Well, weekend's over.
Yeah, weekend's over.
Bye, guys.
Bye.